It's the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Here in Texas, we often hear that Texas Hispanics will soon become the majority of the population in the state. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean this translates into a large voting population of Democrats turning Texas blue, though that has certainly been part of the popular narrative. Sure, it can be said that Hispanics tend to vote more Democrat. Statistics tell us that. But it's the understanding of the political identity of the Hispanic Republican that could arguably be key to understanding the future of politics in Texas. Joining us now is Geraldo Cadava. He is associate professor of Northwestern University and author of the book, The Hispanic Republican, The Shaping of an American Political Identity from Nixon to Trump. Professor, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you so much for having me.
Talk to us a little bit more about Hispanic voters. They are not monolithic, of course, but there is this notion that some voters have, that Hispanic voters can't or shouldn't be Republican. Is this a more recent idea, notion, or has it been going around for some time now?
Well, I think the notion that Hispanics are quote-unquote naturally liberal has been around for a long time, but the truth is, since Richard Nixon's re-election in 1972, about a third, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, about a third of Latinos have voted for the Republican Party. I think it has become even more unlikely or seemingly unlikely during the Trump years, but it's still the truth that about 30% of Latinos vote for Republicans.
Where is it that Hispanic voters tend to find affinity with the Republican Party?
Well, both in terms of geography and issues. I think, you know, one misconception is that Latino conservatives are, you know, in a little slice of South Florida and they care mostly about Cuban politics and things like that. But the movement, the Hispanic Republican movement, is truly much more diverse than that. And you can find Mexican Americans in Texas, Arizona, California, Puerto Ricans in New York and Florida who are also Republicans. In terms of the issues they care about, I think, you know, for a long time, it's been understood that issues like religious freedom or even kind of patriotism. And, you know, it's important to keep in mind that Latinos serve in the military, the border patrol and police officers, anti-communism in Latin America, school choice, religious freedom. All of these things are issues that draw Latinos into the Republican Party.
When you say religious freedom, are you referring more specifically to the high number of Catholics, for example, from Mexico who come to the United States and maybe have more traditional values when it comes to issues such as abortion or something mm-hmm. different? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think that's part of it. But I do think also that that's the other misconception about Latino Republicans, that they're either Cuban exiles or Catholics or both. So I think Catholicism, anti-abortion views, that's an important part of what I mean by religious freedom. But I'm also thinking about evangelical Christians and what we often refer to as the separation between church and state. A lot of them send their children to charter schools that have religious affiliations as evangelical Christians. And so they interpret a lot of what they see in the world in terms of law and politics through scripture. And so I think it's really all of those things.
In Texas, where the Hispanic population will soon be the majority of the state, do you see Republican leaders as seeing and somehow seizing the opportunity to keep Texas in Republican control by courting more of the Hispanic vote as you describe it? I mean, this wouldn't be a huge leap after all, as polling trends have shown, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I think Republican leaders see Hispanic Republicans as, in many ways, representing the future of the Republican Party in Texas. And that's been true for a long time. I think John Tower, a senator from Texas, was really important to bringing Hispanics into the Republican Party, both statewide and nationally. More recently, you have former Governor George W. Bush, and now you have Governor Greg Abbott, who is, you know, endorsing some Hispanic Republicans for the Texas State House and U.S. Congress. So I think, you know, yes, demographic change is a reality, and I think Republicans know that as well as anyone else. And I think Hispanic Republicans in Texas are key. And if anything, you know, yes, I know there's a conversation about Texas purpling, becoming, you know, a true two-party state because of Latino population growth. And that's a possibility, but it's also just as much a possibility that Hispanic Republicans will be a kind of bulwark for the Republican Party in Texas.
Republicans often talk about expanding the tent and bringing in more people from different voting blocks, including what you describe as the Hispanic electorate. And I'm curious now how you grow that tent if an entire block of potential voters feel a certain degree of hostility directed at people of color, for example. I mean, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, that's a terrific question. And I think, one that requires the most explaining, just because in this moment of the Republican Party, it really seems like they have moved hard to the right on immigration and border security. But, even if the percentage of Latinos to whom those ideas appeal is very small, I don't think that border security and, policies that would be called anti-immigrant policies and Hispanic Republican identity are mutually exclusive. I mean, I've been talking with some candidates for office in the Rio Grande Valley, like Monica de la Cruz, for example. And a lot of her platform is based on border security and the idea that for the whole time that she's lived in the Rio Grande Valley, she's witnessed this surge in crimes committed by Mexican immigrants, things like that. So I think the idea that border security is an important part of the Republican Party's platform makes a lot of sense to some Mexican Americans. I mean, there's also the Border Hispanics for Trump group running out of El Paso. And again, I mean, it's a small percentage of Latinos to whom border security and Trump's tough immigration stances appeal, but it is there, and it's, I think, sincere.
What lessons do you think there might be to be taken from the history of the Hispanic voting bloc as we look to the future of this upcoming election? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think the main thing is that both parties, for a long period of time, have taken Latinos for granted in one way or another. I think, Reagan famously said that Latinos are Republicans who just don't know it yet. And Democrats have also felt that Latinos are natural Democrats. And I think that considering Latinos to be naturally anything in a partisan sense is a way of taking them for granted because it doesn't recognize that they are serious political actors with true, real, sincere ideas that are deeply held. And I think the important thing is that candidates from both parties need to listen to Latinos when they tell them what they care about and take them seriously and go fight for every one of their votes. I mean, for the Republicans in particular, I would say that just because the Republican Party has won 30% of the Latino vote pretty consistently for the past 50 years, it does not mean that they are destined to win 30% of their vote going forward. And I think when Latinos represent a ever-growing slice of the American electorate and the American population, winning 30% of their vote isn't going to be a recipe for success for much longer. So I think they're going to have to figure out ways to expand their support among Latinos if they want to remain relevant well into the future.
Geraldo Cadava is an associate professor at Northwestern University and author of a provocative new book, The Hispanic Republican: The Shaping of an American Political Identity from Nixon to Trump. Professor, thanks again for speaking with us on the Texas Standard. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm really grateful that you had me.